Welcome to the Persephone program with my very special guest, my friend B Britt, the Zine Witch from Instagram, someone who I found a great affinity with because B is an astrologer, a witch, an author, and many other things, but she's also a music person who loves to talk about the intersection between music and popular culture and astrology, and there aren't that many of us out there. So, welcome, B.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk. Every time we get together, we just talk our ears off about music, and you're just so full of insights and can speak my language. It's such a delight when we get an opportunity to connect.
Same. You are probably like myself. I mean, I think that only like my late mother was the only person that I had ever met or talked to that could link, bands and new releases with particular astrological, connections. And also you're a music person, and we're like a tribe in and of ourselves,
Yes, and there is like a beautiful rhythm to music and astrology. I was so fortunate enough to have you over on my coven membership, and we did the astrology of punk rock, and that was so much fun to do. And I just learned a wealth of knowledge from you. And I've been a punk fan my entire life. And then we did also, I did an episode recently on the astrology of Riot Girl, which was really cool. So it's just so lovely to be able to like figure out which conjunctions, which squares kind of motivate people to create things that are really subversive, right?
Oh my God, girl, I just got this wild idea that we should start a record label. Anyway.
Yes.
Oh my God, let's do it.
Cool.
Fuck it.
Yes.
Yes, like so many things. I could talk to you forever. Wish we were in the same town so we could occasionally get together and just chat, see shows, things like that. But you're also an astrologer and a witch. And so yeah, we have a lot in common. A practicing witch, which I love, and you use practical magic every day. And you're an astrologer and your output is prodigious. It is really amazing how much you do. And your chart is so freaking lit up right now. I just feel like this is going to be such a renaissance time for you, in this time period, if you will, this threshold of the Jupiter Uranus conjunction in Taurus and stuff. And also, okay, there's so many things to talk about. I definitely want to ask you about all the projects. I'm going to make sure that everybody knows where to find you and to join your coven. And there's so, I mean, what juicy output you provide your coven members. Incredible. Really, really like kudos to you. But first, I want to say happy new moon. It is the dark of the moon right now, but in
My favorite
three,
time.
yeah,
I'm a
my God.
balsamic moon baby. So I was just telling a girlfriend who was just like laying down in exhaustion right before the new moon. And she like, I think she might have thought like with a new moon, I'll be excited, I'll be energized. And I'm like, no, baby, it is a balsamic moon. This is when we rest. New moons you need to rest for, especially in Taurus.
Yeah. I mean, I remember so many times talking to my mom, and she's like, "It's the dark of the moon, Michelle.
I
lay down
love that.
and rest. This is not yet. Maybe we'll feel a little bit better tomorrow, and we'll be pumped up in the next few days, emerge after the new moon. But this is the dark of the moon, and you're right. It's about, disseminating. It's about releasing. It's about resting. And taking that time to go inward. It's funny because I pulled a card for the new moon and it was the Hermit. And I was like, yeah, I can feel this. I feel like this is, what we need to do right now is to rest and allow our inner knowing and our inner light to sort of shine on us. And that's pretty wise. That's the balsamic moon, Anyway, I too am exhausted
Yeah.
and resting and relaxing. But so I wanted to ask you a little bit about how you feel about this, our 2024's new moon in Taurus and the first new moon after the crazy eclipse season. And how have you been over the eclipse season?
These eclipses have been a little crazy. I feel like they're happening. So I'm a Virgo rising. So this is happening in houses 2 and houses 8. So my finances have definitely been on my mind. Being able to take care of myself as an autistic adult, you know, that's obviously a goal for all of us, but it can be a little bit more challenging for people who struggle with their neurodiversity and just like exhaustion and burnout. So it's been a lot of, you know, focus on not only my financial resources, but my inner resources, like how I'm using my energy, what I'm putting into my body. We forget sometimes that the second house has a lot to do with our diet and our nutrition. And so a big thing for me is I just cut out, like I used to be a soda addict. And we think that, you know, it's the caffeine. And I was doing ginger ale. So I was like, I thought I was in the clear. And I realized even in ginger ale, there's the additive Red 40. And Red 40 is in fucking everything. It sucks. It's like in anything red that is unnatural. And I realized it was largely contributing to my anger. And it was largely contributing to my depression. And I have been going through this elimination of soda from my diet, and particularly Red 40 foods. And I feel so much better, so much better. So I'm learning how to manage my energy differently. I'm changing what I'm consuming. But really, a lot of it has been, you know, I've gained a lot of insight from my own personal transformations the last, you know, 20 years of my life. And I'm just trusting the process. Like, so many things have happened this year already, where I didn't know why I was so passionate about a particular issue or why I was like learning about something. And then somebody would fall into my life who was going through that particular issue. And I was like, oh, I've just been reading about this and educating myself about this. So it's been a lot of like trusting the process that when you go through something, when you're learning about something, even if it seems silly, like if you're going on a deep dive about, I don't know, something that seems very unuseful, like punk rock or something, there's probably a reason that's coming to you that's gonna unfold where you're gonna be able to help somebody with that. So it's just been a really interesting manifestation of an eighth house transit, I guess. Trusting the process of your transformations can serve to be healing agents for other people.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, you know, when that's your work, you know, is to do that and to be of service to others. But yeah, the interconnectedness, the sympathy of all things, the synchronicities and signs and symbols that actually, if you trust, are bringing you into that. And as a reader or as someone, you know, that someone that is out there, you know, trying to share and help, we learn as much, you know, from our clients as, you know, maybe as they do from us. And there is this mirroring that happens when you coach or counsel folks, you know, where you, yeah, it all comes up and it all is all useful and it's all interconnected. And it was funny when you were talking about all of that too, you know, I was like, I'm looking at your chart and I'm like, yeah, you know, you're a double Aquarius with the sun and the moon. Also. You're such a double Aquarius. I love that. And Virgo and the sun and the moon in the house of Virgo, the sixth house, you know, and that is, there's a lot about balancing health and wellness in it. And then I was also thinking that the Jupiter Uranus conjunction, and then also this new moon to a certain extent loosely also is conjoined with your Chiron, you know, and so there's, and then that's in Taurus, right? And so there's a lot around like, what am I feeding myself? What are my resources and how is my body? And what types of resources can I use for my body? And how can I be as pure as I can, you know, in a way, how can I be as pure and healthy, you know, in a real natural way? And yeah, I mean, don't get me started on, you know, Red 40, because like, yeah, I'm super I think that like the big issue with many of us is all of the additives in our food, especially Americans. You know, and everybody's like, I'm cutting out gluten, or like, I'm not drinking alcohol and I'm doing all these things, but it's like, yeah, but you need to cut out processed food. Like that, just do that and you'll be fine, you know?
It's super hard to do also. I want to just say if
Yeah.
you are like low income or if you're limited in your resources, because to eat, healthy organic food, like, that's not cheap. And so it can be very difficult trying to, and especially when you're neurodiverse, like you don't always have the spoons to cook a whole meal for yourself. So
Yeah.
simple things, I think, have been, if I have a piece of advice for your listeners, keep it simple. Get yourself things like Greek yogurt, get yourself things like fruit that happens to be in season and on sale, and just keeping it really simple.
Yeah, if you it, absolutely, it's true. I mean, the problem here is that as Americans, we're so used to having a food, an abundance of food, and we do have an abundance of cheap food, but it's not necessarily healthy for us, you know? So yeah, that's a big challenge that everybody has to work through. Yeah, all of us, you know. But with a little diligence, you know, we can, and it makes a big difference, like you've already found out, you know, it makes a really big difference. And I also think that calling on friends and community for help is something that is important that a lot of us don't do, you know, in the United States. Like we don't say, you know what, I have a really hard time, you know, whether neurodivergent or not, like it's really hard for me to like focus and do all this or whatever that may be. I need some help. Like, can you help? Like, can you do this for me and I'll do this for you, you know? But it just depends, like, you know, that's not a one size fits all, you know, approach, but
That's also very Jupiter Uranus, which is the biggest transit of this year. One thing I've been seeing astrologically that's super cool. So we had this Jupiter Uranus conjunction on April 20th, but we're going to be sitting within that energy, that soup that is astrology for like the entire year, but particularly with this upcoming new moon, because it is in Taurus, right, where Jupiter and Uranus are. And so think what is Venetian, right? Like what is that V Venus is women and beauty and values, right? So one of the cool ways I've been seeing this Jupiter Uranus shift is I've been seeing it across the board, and I've been seeing it a lot actually with Aries placements too, because of course there's eclipses in Aries right now. The mommune, and for people who don't know what that is, there's been an abundance of women in my practice and in my life lately who've gone through these very painful divorces, and in doing that they've had to become, of course, single parents in many ways, and they're trying to figure out how to be a good parent. They're trying to figure out how to manage their own energy levels. Especially this can be, again, difficult for people who are neurodivergent. Your energy can be very limited. So I've seen this movement sort of happening where moms have been sort of getting together and being like, as you just said, I have these resources, you have these resources. Let's come together and do some trading. Maybe you'll watch my child. I will teach your child the piano, and that'll be an exchange, and kind of creating this like commune of moms, hence the mommune. And I love this. It's women coming together without the help of men, doing it for them fucking selves. And that is everything. That is so, like, I love it. So if you're one of those women and you're listening and you've been thinking these things or you've been wanting these things, trust that it is out there trying to find you right now.
Yeah, I love all of this because of course like I am a product of that, you know, because my mom told my father, like who was always gone, I can't do this any by myself, like I need help. So my mom's, you know, started a literal commune, you know, when I was a kid, and she had all the help. with the three children that she had so young. And I fully agree with you on that. And I also feel like it extends even like beyond those, women that have, small charges, whatever they may be. And sometimes it's pets and sometimes it's children and or it's other responsibilities. If you're feeling overwhelmed, like I feel like community and looking at the resources that you have are so important. And also maybe with that North Node in Aries, it's also like having the courage to not just be like that rugged individual, but also to say like, okay, let's work together. Like I could say to you, B, guess what? I am also a, certified integrative, nutritionist health coach. And I would love to help you with any kind of stuff that you need. And we can do a trade. And, it's just like, there are
Yeah.
things that everybody can do to help each other. And I think that we need to get back to that. That is very
100%.
kind of an ancient thing, and it's something that today, I think maybe because we have so much communication technology specifically, that maybe we can reach out and just say, let's actually work together. Let's help each
Yeah.
other. Let's share. Let's trade,
I think that there's a little bit of fear too sometimes because there is a culture that like is like, hey girl, let
Right.
me
You
tell
need
you
to
about
do it
my
all, be it all.
pyramid scheme, but I mean like genuinely, like I think that there are a lot of women out there that don't want to sell you a multi-level marketing scheme and really just have some resources and want to help you.
Yeah, I'm really tired of that. I feel like that's like, you know what I mean? I'm just so sick and tired of people like building their fucking spiritual or health pyramid scheme
Yeah.
brand over it. Okay,
Yeah.
folks, you don't need to spend that kind of money, and you don't
Yeah.
need to get other people into it because you know what? There is enough for everyone,
Yeah.
Maybe that's
I
that
try to
generous
keep
place. I
my
feel like
stuff
there's enough.
accessible. Yeah. It's
Yeah,
important. It's
change.
important. Yeah. It's important to me that I like try to keep things accessible. At the same time, that's been a hard thing for me with Chiron and Taurus. Like, I want to keep things accessible, but at the same time, I do have needs, and my needs have been getting more intense as I get older. And things build, and you start worrying about, like, well, no one's going to take care of me, so I have to be able to take care of myself, especially as an autistic person. So, yeah, I it was really hard for me to raise my rates a couple months ago, but I also realize it's what I need, and it. I, as you said, put a lot of work into what I do. You get a lot of content and a variety and diversity in my content too. So, like, I think you definitely get what you pay for, if
Well,
not more.
you work your ass off. So I'm saying to anyone that listens, if you want to join her coven, I mean her Patreon coven, you're gonna get your money's worth for sure.
Yeah,
For
for
sure.
sure.
And
Yeah.
a lot of support. And especially if you want to learn about astrology and you want to be able to apply it, because one of the things that I noticed about you is that you use a lot of application, and a lot of the
Yeah.
application is through pop culture, which of course I love
Yeah.
because I find that to be in many ways the most applicable way to take
Yeah.
an esoteric or metaphorical type idea and bring it down to earth. Like, oh, okay, I get this, and that's why it's
It
super
makes more
important.
sense when you're trying to understand a concept because otherwise it's just an idea. But if you're like, for example, trying to teach a Kazemi. And if I'm okay, let's dumb it down for new listeners, right? Like, what's this word Kazemi? Kazemi is when the sun is lit up in a conjunction with Mercury, right? So think about that on a physical level. The sun is the ego, our vitality, right? Like, it is literally how we shine into the world. And if you have Mercury there, which is like the voice, the mind, how you think. That means that this is going to be someone who most likely is going to be known for those things, how they think, how they speak, how they sing, how they use their voice in the world, right? So I always say with like Kazemis, you look for people who have Kazemis in their chart, and they are literally, you look to the sign, they are literally archetypes of that sign. Kazemi, Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day has a Kazemi in Aquarius. What is he? He is a punk singer, right? Beyonce has, that as well, doesn't she? Oh no, wait, maybe she doesn't. Ozzy does. Ozzy is somebody who has a Kazemi, and it's in Sagittarius. And you think about like Ozzy speaking. Everyone's watched, you know, the Osbournes or whatever. He's very much like, what the fuck did he just say? It sounds like he's from like another planet. It's like you speak in another language. Very Sagittarian. So it's easy to understand these wild concepts when you kind of bring them into something everyone can understand, right? Like you can't teach astrology unless it's accessible.
And Kazemi is like, yeah, it's like when a planet is conjunct the sun, they're in the heart of the fire, right? And they're
Yes.
absorbed within the identity, which is the sun of this, of the self, right? So yeah, that's it's great. Like use a person, use a situation, use a time in your life, Those are the ways that I think people learn rather than these sort of very like, broad intellectual, outside of the self topics. So I love that you do that. And okay, so speaking of that, we're going all over the place, but it's all in.
Taurus new moon, right? Like we're talking about the Taurus new moon.
We're talking about the Taurus new moon, but I want to talk about birds.
Oh, yes.
Okay, because I was thinking today, you posted, so Met Ball, and I was thinking about how the Met Gala this year was, the theme was nature. Right. And I was looking at Lana Del Rey's costume, which was incredible.
I'm glad you brought this up because I was just about to bring her up too. Okay, continue.
No, I yes. And then I was thinking about birds and the bird dress. Who was wearing the bird dress?
Oh,
What was that?
what's her name?
Remember.
Flor. I was not familiar. I'm so sorry. Somebody out there is going to be a hater and they're going to be like, how do you not know who this person is?
No, stop. No, I don't know either. Like we were looking at the gowns with my partner. So
Rebecca
my partner's
Ferguson
in
is
the
her name. Yeah.
okay.
Yes.
And I was looking at Cardi B's dress and stuff like that. And I was thinking like how interesting it is, like who the celebrities are right now and who's going to this very refined Met Gala. But anyway, birds. So I was thinking about what you posted about the bird dress and birds and Jupiter Uranus and I'm
Yes.
walking around my neighborhood, girl. So the other day, okay, in my yard, a pigeon came down. We have a pigeon issue here. A pigeon came down, and I could tell he was sick. And yeah, he had the flu, and it's happening here, right? So we've got these like dead pigeons everywhere. Anyway, this pigeon was here, and he's like in my yard, and he cannot fly. And, I have a big dog. So I was like, I need to get this pigeon out of my yard before my dog like attacks it or eats it or something. And so I had to chase it all over and I caught it and I put him out of our yard. And then, the other day I was walking my dog and I think he died, because there are dead birds everywhere, honey.
There
It's
are. There's
happening.
been so many things. I've heard so many stories at this point about the bird thing. Let me back up a little bit. So the bird thing comes from Jupiter and Uranus getting together. So I have a Jupiter and Uranus conjunction natally. I'm always trying to think outside of the box with astrology. I'm not necessarily always going with like what everyone else says. I mean, surprise, I'm an Aquarius, right? So I'm always like looking for my own themes within themes. So like last summer I was taking this walk and I listened to like hundreds of songs that came out during Jupiter Uranus conjunctions. And I was just like, do I see a theme of like a feeling and in it? So it turned out it was birds. Like there was the obvious where there were a lot of albums, and it wasn't just Jupiter Uranus conjunction, I want to say. It was all of the Jupiter Uranus transit. So the trine, the square. I noticed that birds were always an inspiration or a theme during these transits. An example of this could be that's a little bit more like subdued and not just directly saying like, you know, Natalie Imbruglia had a song that came out in 97 during the Jupiter Uranus conjunction called Pigeons in the Crumbs. That's like overt, right? But like a more like less overt one was like thinking about how Homogenic came out by Bjork in 97 during the conjunction. And what Bjork was feeling in her body at that time was pressure to create a hit. She had put out two records that were like, highly successful. And with that, her team got bigger and she had more people she had to support. And with that, she felt the pressure to have to take care of other people. Like, you can't rest. You have to come up with a hit. You have to work because you have people to support. And she remembered the story that her grandmother told her about how she was bird watching. And she saw that there was one bird that had to become the hunter and he would go out and bring home the food, and the other one would watch the nest. And so she writes the song Hunter, which is, to people who don't know, the opening song on Homogenic. It is amazing. Go listen to it. It's very otherworldly. And so there were all these stories that were like kind of inspired by birds, right? And so I was like, birds are the theme. Birds are the theme. And like people told me I was a little crazy, or they were like, what are you talking about, birds? And then I've seen so many bird things this year just at the conjunction. It's been crazy. My friend got a Mother's Day card the other day with a big bird on it.
I mean, okay, so firstly, I want to comment on your Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which isn't like any other because it's almost exact. Like it's exact by
Yeah.
degree and not that far off, by seconds. So it's a
Yeah, I
very
am the
close conjunct.
conjunction.
You are so the conjunction. I
It's
love
my
it.
soul depositor. It's in charge of the entire chart. So, yeah,
Yeah.
I,
It's
yeah,
powerful.
I
But isn't so, Uranus, whether you think Uranus was aptly named or not, it is still named Uranus. Uranus the sky god, Jupiter the sky god, there's very sky-oriented energies with both the planets. It's very much about the sky, right? And birds
Yeah.
flying in the sky. And I see that. And so I would also like invite everyone listening to think on rising above through vision, what birds do, flying above your problems, looking at them creatively, and allowing that sort of like wide sight
Bird's eye
to,
view.
yeah, bird's eye view, exactly, like blue sky bird's eye view.
Yeah.
And then about like the avian, the birds dying, maybe that's. That's something different. We're having another bird
Yeah.
flu. It's not the first time.
That actually was a Jupiter Uranus thing, was the bird flu actually occurred with the last conjunction that we had in 2010. So that was
Yeah,
another manifestation
I
of the
think
bird
that
thing.
yeah, because I remember literally, just in my neighborhood, the birds are dying, and not a lot. It's not a ton, but it's just you see them. You don't see full grown birds dead, run over much,
Sad.
except for when this happens. And it is sad. It is
Yeah, I've seen a number of bird things. Now, I think that the dress was probably one of the cooler manifestations because it's like a visual manifestation. But another funny one was I was watching television the other day, and there's a Target ad with the Target lady that Kristen Wiig plays, and she was like, "A little birdie told me," and then there's like a bird in the commercial.
That's right. I saw that. You can't make
Yeah.
this stuff up, folks.
Hire me on your advertising development team for outside of the
Exactly.
box ideas. This is the
I'm telling
transit to
you.
think differently.
They need us.
Anyway.
Astrologers are absolute trend, spotters. We
Yeah,
know it way before
100%.
anybody that's just like, looking at raw data.
For
We
sure.
can plan it like years and years in advance. Well, tell me a little bit about I know you just put out this really lovely Saturn, and I love your zines. I love like what you do. I think that this is like tying into punk rock and everything, like DIY. Like I loved your little Saturn book. It was beautiful. What are you working on creatively and personally? Tell us a little bit about that, and tell us a little bit about your process also of, I would say, studying astrology, learning astrology, and applying astrology. Tell me a little bit about that journey. That's a lot.
Sure. Okay, I'm trying to think of where to start. Okay, so I did put out a Saturn ebook, and it's So it's an ebook, it's a PDF, really easy to read on your phone. And the reason I did that, as opposed to something more tangible, which maybe eventually I will do if there's a desire for it, was because, to be honest, I read everything on my phone nowadays. So I just wanted to make it super accessible.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie, mail order is a fucking
Hits.
bitch. And
Hate it.
as somebody who dated somebody who did have a record label for many years, all you hear is duct tape all day. And that's the worst sound if you're neurodivergent all day. Anyway, that's what having a record label is. It's duct tape, guys.
Well, maybe we can change that now because there's so much like outsourced,
Yes.
production and distribution. So, but yeah,
Making a joke, but my point is, I guess, yes, I did this Saturn zine. I am in a Saturn ruled profection year, and it seemed like a labor of love because I love Saturn. And I just wanted to give a introduction to astrology for someone who is completely brand new, but also something someone who is more seasoned would also enjoy.
yeah.
So I made it really basic. I made it like, I mean, everything was not really that basic in the sense that I put it together by hand. Like literally, like no two pages will look the same. I like literally took the time and put individual stickers on it and everything. I had to stick to my DIY roots. I made it a little hard for myself, but I love that I did that because that is the energy of Saturn, right? But it shows you how to, like, for example, look up where Saturn is transiting for you right now in your life, and then what you might anticipate through that transit. So we have Saturn through the houses, we have Saturn by aspect. And if you're like, how do I figure out an aspect? I have instructions where you can go to like astrocharts.com where it actually writes it out. So you can see like Mercury sextile Saturn if you have that in your chart, right? Or if you're going through that transit. You can see literally written out if you don't understand the lines yet. So I try to make it really kind of easy in that way. And then I also painted it with stories of different celebrities going through Saturn transits and what that looks like. Like Nicole Richie became pregnant when Saturn was transiting through her first house. And if you remember that turbulent time in her life, that was like a renaissance for her. She had to go to court for like a DUI, and she was in a new relationship, and so she went from this like party girl to like the Nicole Richie we know today, which is like, a little bit more matured. So I thought that was like a story that most people could understand. So I tell
Yeah.
stories like that, and then there's tarot spreads that you can do for different Saturn transits, journal prompts for different Saturn transits. Talks about the Saturn return, the Saturn square, like all of it is in there, and it's accessible language, easy to read.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's just a really great tool for someone to have, and especially like, you're using Nicole Richie as an example, and you use a lot of examples for your generation. And to be honest with you, your generation is probably like 75% of my clients, so it's, yeah, this
Yeah.
is a great, this is a great tool. I love that. What, so tell me, how did you tell me, because I don't know that we ever talked about this. How did you begin to find astrology and then practice it and then come out, as an astrologer?
A
That
few
process.
things. It was like I mean, as it is, I think for a lot of people, it was like a slow burn kind of thing. I've always had like an interest in the occult, and mainly as like an to understand myself and my own story. That was a big thing for me. I had a really hard first half of my life, really, really, really difficult, a lot of painful things, and I was trying to find meaning in that or purpose, like why do bad things happen like this?
Yes.
And yeah, so I always read my horoscope growing up. I knew that I didn't know my birth mom. And I was always very interested in trying to figure out who she was, and no one really wanted to talk about that, where they like, just didn't know, like the questions that I had, they just didn't have answers to. So I started like kind of loving astrology because it was a tool to help me understand who I was, who my mom was. I also was like going through a really traumatic death. One of my closest, most profound friends died, and she was super into astrology. And our last real heart to heart, she was like, "Did you ever get your birth chart read?" And I was like, "No." And she was like, "You should look it up." And she started telling me all about her birth chart, and that seemed profound, especially because she would pass away shortly thereafter. And I was looking for answers as to why that happened. And yeah, so it just kind of became a thing. And I realized as I began to study it, I realized, whoa, this was just the language I always understood, but I just didn't have the language for, if that makes sense. Like for example, I would always feel like this person reminds me of this person, or I would have to set up this person with this person. I don't know why it felt like they needed to know each other, but I did that, a lot of that, all the time. That's a very Aquarius thing to connect people. And I realized I was feeling I felt astrology before I learned it, if that makes sense.
It totally does. And I love the way that you've described it like that too, because it's kind of like it's an organizing factor based on affinities, and it's also a language. And so you can talk about, folks, natal charts in ways that are like affinities, affinities, complexes, things like that, tendencies or whatever. And you were already doing that. You were already kind of sorting and collating and and thinking about affinities, and this just gave some language and form to what you were already maybe feeling and seeing. And do you know what transits were going through your natal chart at the time that you like really discovered astrology and you had your friend pass? And I'm so sorry about that.
Well, that was Jupiter Uranus in 2010 through my seventh house. So it was really activating. So that was the first part. And
Having
then
Uranus like opposing, like conjoining your Venus and your Mars, like because of course the seventh house is best
I mean, it
friends.
was a little bit past there, but during the conjunction, because it was almost, I think the conjunction happened almost closer to Aries, because it came around a second time, I think, in Aries, right? In t like so, but that
It
was
was
the
late.
Pisces one, and it was a Mercury square to Pluto.
Well, of
Yeah,
course,
it was a Mercury
Pluto
square to
has to be in
Pluto, and then
there,
also I
right?
think my Pallas was hit. Can you hear
Right.
me?
Yeah. I was like, Pluto has to
Okay.
be in there.
Yeah, Pluto. Well, I had a Mercury square to Pluto that when she passed, that was happening, and I have that natally, so it activated that conjunction. But also, I think like there was something going on with Pallas as well in my chart too, and yeah, I Pluto had just gone over my south node as well, I think. So it was a transformative time just in general. And but I think the time that I think the when I decided to really like start practicing it and like doing readings, what was going on then? I think those were eclipses on my ascendant descendant was when I decided to start doing readings formally.
Love that. Fantastic. Yeah, of course. I mean, the eclipses are always activated, right? And really important crossroads in your life. And it looks like they were, by planets. Yeah, super interesting. So tell me a little bit about like what are you seeing? And I know we've talked a lot about the Jupiter Uranus conjunction for 2024, but what are you kind of feeling and seeing for the rest of this year?
Okay, well, we have
Just off
Jupiter
the
that
top of
is
your
a
head,
yeah. Well, the first thing that strikes me is Jupiter is going to move into Gemini. And I
Yeah.
think that that's actually really exciting because I think a lot of people, because of the pandemic, have gone through different situations in their lives where their friend group has maybe changed, their way of thinking has changed. whether it's people getting sober, whether it's people realizing, oh, I thought that this person and I were closer, and I'm realizing I've outgrown these people, or they have different values than me. I think a lot of people are searching to connect with other people. And so Jupiter in moving into Gemini makes me a lot more hopeful for those of us who are learning to communicate in new ways and to make new friendships and to connect on a deeper, more intimate level. I think it's great for learning new things, whether it's how to express yourself or want to learn astrology or something, right? You want to learn how to have better nutrition in your life, and maybe connect with other people and find workout buddies, whatever your thing is. I think it's going to be very helpful to get people out of their houses and connecting more in real life instead of behind a computer screen. So I'm excited
I
for that.
agree. I agree. I think Jupiter Gemini is going to be really, really good for there's going to be a lot of movement, a lot of communication, especially over the summer, obviously, and through the end of this year too. And I love any Jupiter Uranus conjunction, but Jupiter and Taurus has been a little challenging also, like for finances and markets and inflation and things like that. And I feel that Jupiter and Gemini is going to move forward a lot of communication and a lot there's we're going to be busy. There's a sense of busyness. So I also feel that that is good.
I'm really excited for that. And I think also, we have a Saturn retrograde over the summer. And I think
Typical for
that
the summer though. Saturn is a lot retrograde a lot in the summer.
that yeah, that's fair. It's interesting because I saw it in such a literal way. Last year we were I live in a condo and they have like a outdoor pool. And the first 2 years that I lived here, it was wonderful to have that in the summertime and to have access to that. But the last, and I guess this year now too, it's closed for repairs. So I was just like, what a literal interpretation.
Ugh.
So it's, I mean, I think that Saturn retrograde in Pisces in particular, that like will be, first of all, I think it'll be a sobering summer. I think a lot I think my prediction, a lot of people are going to get sober, and I think a lot of people are going to leave. I don't want to say like cults. I mean cults, of course. Like I could see a lot of people leaving religions and a lot of people coming maybe coming to and realizing, what they've been indoctrinated. That could be as far as like, being in a relationship with somebody. And like, sometimes when you're in a relationship with somebody, their beliefs become your beliefs because they're talking at you rather than having a conversation with you. And I've been, in those types of relationships. So I feel like we're going to see a lot of people kind of coming to these conclusions, freeing themselves perhaps from the beliefs of other people. Or the beliefs of groups, I could see.
Oh yeah. And I'm glad about that because Neptune in Pisces has brought on, really hardcore like fake news and QAnon and a lot of conspiracy theories. And it's like, look, we do need to kind of sober our minds, our psychic reality, and to what is really kind of like tangible, I guess, and what fits our lives and kind of embrace that hard realization of like what seems to be true, is what is evident. And sometimes it isn't necessarily evident to our five senses, but it is evident to us, and we don't get swept up. There was like a lot of this energy of being swept up into things. So yeah, I agree with you on all that.
For sure. And then I think also, like, the more that Uranus and Neptune get closer to each other, millennials are very activated right now by generational aspects. And we're seeing, of course, the like right now as we speak, we're seeing a lot of protests on campuses and everything happening right now with Palestine and how much that's kind of like mirroring what was going on in the 1960s. With Kent, or actually that was 1970 with Kent State, right? You and
Well,
I actually talked
69.
about
69. We talked about that
okay
and then
okay
Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. 1969, Kent State. Yeah.
okay fair. You and I talked about that during our Jupiter Uranus talk because I didn't know that Chrissy Hynde from the Pretenders was there. That's
She
crazy.
was. Her
Yeah,
book is
that's how did
unbelievable.
I not know that? But I think also getting to the good stuff, you and I are music people, and I see that conjunction, and I am super excited for the future of music because I think not only are we seeing people break down walls, like we're seeing Beyoncé create a country album, we're seeing, you know, people breaking down walls of what they've been told they can and cannot do. Lana, I've heard, is doing a country record. And so, like, you know, what can she not do?
Right.
I actually have my eye on her this new moon because this new moon is right on her north node conjunct Venus. So this
Yes.
just feels very big for her.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that what she's going to be creating this year is going to be amazing. And it's funny because so
Yes.
state, so I was, so I have a lot of friends that are in the business, if you will. And
Yeah.
we just had, Stagecoach, which is a big music festival that's basically in the same place, kind of
Yeah.
very similar to Coachella,
Country.
right?
Yeah, it's
And
country music.
Stagecoach is all country. And I was just saying that, like, so this is like really an interesting fact that you may not know, was that like my brother-in-law is a member of the Beach Boys. The Beach Boys
What?
played Stagecoach. Yeah, I'm a later member. But
Okay. Still cool.
he took Brian Wilson's part. He's been in the band for like 25,
Wow.
27 years or something like that.
Beach Boys are like my favorite. Like I'm a freak about the Beach Boys.
Oh, darling. Well, let me know if when they come to town, if you want to go, you can come.
Yeah.
I can go see them.
Unfortunately, I have an exact, what is it? An exact Venus degree conjunction with Mike Love. Do not
Oh,
agree with his politics, but love his music.
that's so funny. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Well, maybe if you want to meet him, let me know. But so they played Stagecoach, and there was like a whole bunch of like, oh my God, I can't even remember what they were, but who they were, because I forgot right now. But there's so much crossover. There's like so much crossover now between like what we would call like hip hop or rap or like R&B and country, and it's just all happening. And we were talking, I was all these people that I know, including like my niece, my brother-in-law's daughter, and a ton of my friends, like all the hot young girls are at Stagecoach, not at Coachella.
Yeah.
And there's just this sort of like super interesting like movement, and it's like that's
Do
what's
you
hot
think that
right
that's
now.
because a lot of the millennials have this conjunction natally, so it's kind of being activated right now? And so they're like breaking barriers of what was essentially seen as cool, but also thinking, you know what? The 90s was pretty cool for country music. You had like Garth Brooks.
Yeah,
Sure,
100%. Because
that
so,
was a
like,
great time for
I
country,
grew up
actually.
a super
Denia.
urban, yeah, late 80s, 90s. I grew up super urban. It was all like rock and roll, punk, metal, and I appreciated, even when I was a kid, I kind of like appreciated like old Johnny Cash or
Yeah.
rockabilly. Like, that was cool. But then, yeah, in the 90s, when Garth Brooks came up, and then there was a whole explosion, Trisha Yearwood and all these other bands. And it kind of started like even in the cool spots, in the clubs with like Dwight Yoakam. And so that was a renaissance for country for sure, but it was still kind of like over there. It wasn't
Yeah.
necessarily married. They were doing a little
Well,
bit of
we had pop.
everything.
When do we have? Okay, so this is something I don't know a ton about. Maybe you can better direct me. When was the beginning, the evolution of pop country? Because I think about like Faith Hill, This Kiss. Like that was on every station. Like my stepmother listened to that on WJBR, the soft rock radio station. It wasn't even a country station. It was just on.
That
Or
was
like
90s.
Shania.
That was definitely 90s. That was
Okay.
90s when but there were crossovers before that.
Okay.
There were crossovers for sure. I mean, there was a lot of different ones, and I can't necessarily like give you like exacts, but Willie Nelson was doing crossovers, and
Yeah.
there was a lot of pop country type stuff in the 70s as well. Because the 70s, of course, with the soft rock kind of
Yeah.
movement, they were very much doing crossovers. And even like think about, Graham Parsons, how he influenced the Rolling Stones in Exile on Main Street. And so that happened, in
Yeah.
the late 60s as well. So country's always kind of like been there, but in many ways it's been niche. It's been a
Yeah.
niche thing, and now it's full front, which is super interesting. And I think that, to be honest, I know that from a recorded music standpoint, country and like rap or rap hip hop
Oh
were the
God, there's that old joke. I listen to everything but country and rap.
Exactly. Those were the two genres that actually held the recorded music industry up in the last dozen years.
Wow.
Because, I used to work for a label, and I used to work for a giant company that like, had mega stores, and I worked for Virgin Entertainment Group, and we everything fell apart, but
Yeah.
there were two camps, if you will, and that was country and rap that were kind of like people were still buying those, they were still buying that music. And
Yeah.
loving it. And it's in many ways like rock and roll as I knew it in my life has kind of turned into the niche where what's come up to the forefront are rap and country, the two things that people say like they don't
Yeah.
really, So that's so fucking it's so interesting. And
Yeah. I
yeah.
also wanted to say, like, this is a little in advance. Like this is like not necessarily this year kind of stuff, but like as it's approaching, I think it's interesting to consider also what's going to be happening with Uranus and Pluto, because Uranus and Pluto in 65 conjoining, right? That was the birth of, I mean, technically the birth of rock and roll was way earlier, but that's like Dylan going electric and the electric guitar becoming a place in rock and roll kind of thing. That's like what they're credited, or at least that's what it's credited as. But like even when you think about like Kurt Cobain, right? Nirvana, right? What guitars did Kurt Cobain play? He played like 65s, right? Stratocasters, right? So like he's literally using music or instruments that were made at that time, right? So
Well,
it's interesting.
yeah, that's the
Sorry.
Uranus-Pluto conjunction,
Yes.
and that was 65 to 67-ish.
Yes.
I'm
Yes.
definitely like I was born in 1966, so that is a signature in my astrology, and I think that Uranus, Uranus and Pluto, right? So Pluto
They're gonna
is.
eventually have this beautiful trine that happens, right? So
Yes,
like
there's going to be a
I have my
trine.
eye on that.
Right, and I can't remember what year that is, but there's
Let's
going
take
to
a
be
look. I can take a look and see. I
yeah,
feel like
just
it's not super far ahead. We have a Uranus retrograde to get through,
the big
and then we
thing
have a,
that I think
sorry.
that we're looking at here is a Saturn Neptune conjunction, which is like getting into
Yeah.
orbit next year, and kind of going back and forth between, 2025 and 2026 at 0 degrees Aries. But we don't have the really like, there aren't a lot of harsh aspects between Uranus and Pluto, and there have been so many in the last, 50 odd years. So trines and sextiles and things like that that are coming up, Uranus,
Plus 2026 is going to be the exact,
2026.
yeah, 2026 is when Saturn and Uranus, or is that, oh wait, no wait, that's
Right,
something wrong.
because
Sorry.
Uranus will move to Gemini.
Saturn Neptune, right? Because
Saturn
they're, yeah.
Neptune, yes, late 2025, it gets into orb,
But they're
2026.
still going to be like close in proximity, so it'll be very interesting to see over the next couple of years what unique, like genres of music are going to be born, like that
Yes.
haven't even been invented yet.
I'm so excited about that because there hasn't been for so long. There's been like different reiterations,
Like
but
subgenres kind of, but like,
yeah.
yeah, I'm curious, like, but like there hasn't been like I guess the what would be like the last non-subgenre, like rap, maybe? Is
There's
that
so
it?
many different aspects of like rap too. I mean, and I think it's going to be
Yeah,
electronic. I know that much.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's gonna have to do with AI and
Yes, me too. I was just thinking that. I was thinking it's gonna have to do with AI. It has to do with like maybe like symphonic AI like creations that people are gonna be able to like program AI to create this like soundscape, you know?
yeah.
But whatever it is, we have to embrace it because I think
Yeah.
embracing the new is what life is about, right? And
For sure.
we
Would you
all
count ASMR in the music genre? I mean, it's not music, but it is sound. Okay.
yes, for sure.
That's kind of new.
That is new. You're right. I mean, look, I grew up in the 70s and 70s, 80s, 90s, and so there were a lot
Nature
of new
sounds.
genres. It was like, oh
Yeah.
my God, like the 80s were just filled. I was working in record stores and filled with just stuff that no one had ever heard before. But of course it had a foundation, in the
Yeah.
past. And everything new is, sort of built upon a foundation to a certain extent. But yeah, I really, you know what, darling, I have a lot of hope for the future, actually. I feel that way
I
right
do
now.
too.
I love
I
that.
think that like anytime, it doesn't matter how bad things get. When there's bad things happening, there's great art. You know what I mean? So that's like the kind of trade-off
For
sometimes, right?
sure.
Like, yeah. You
Totally.
have to
And
get
so
people fired up and mad to write songs, you know? That's how we got CCR babies.
right, and grunge and many,
And
many
yeah,
more. Like, and
more
we get to
currently.
reap the benefits of the exquisite beauty in life. There was so much beauty in life. And that is just a kind of a, I think that there that is a perfect sort of metaphor for this new moon in Taurus. There is beauty in life, engaging with it, whether you're engaging it through art, like music, like B and I like love music, and we're such, but no matter what, there's something for everyone, like there is something for everyone here. Well, be it what a can you believe it's already been an hour?
I know, we could talk forever. I'll have to come
Forever.
back.
I could just talk to you forever. Like, you're definitely a soul sister.
Yes.
I love your coven. I love what you're doing. I think, like I mentioned, you amaze me every day with how much content you put out that is so like fun and cool and interesting. How can people find you and join your coven?
Okay, so I am online. You can find me on Instagram. I am the Zine Witch. So if you're new and you don't know what zines are, it's Zine. So the Zine Witch. And I'm sure you'll probably link something in the show notes so
I
people can
sure
find
will.
it. And then my coven you can find by going to patreon.com/burnblack. Burn
Burn.
black
Okay.
comes from your old what was it? Your not your flatmate, but your practice space person, Courtney. That's a song by Cole, Burn Black.
Courtney,
Yeah.
we could talk for hours about her too. Oh my God.
One day, I mean,
One
I
day.
love her astrology chart. She has such a perfect chart for exactly who she is. But yeah, it's patreon.com/burnblack. I have two levels. One is the vestry level, and you can get bi-weekly video horoscopes. Usually I will have other disabled astrologers over there, neurodivergent astrologers, queer astrologers. I try to, speak to my people and raise their voices. And then there's another level which is called Astro School, and that gives you thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of workshops and writings that I've done. It gives you basically my whole back catalog, but in addition to astrological content, there's also like mental health content, human design content, and my grimoire of spells that I've worked and I recommend to people. I am about to launch my summer camp. I'm calling it my summer cosmic summer camp series. There's going to be about 10 different offerings this summer. It is $50 per month. Again, I try to make it really accessible. So it's $50 per month or 150 bucks if you want to join for the entire summer. You'll get video horoscopes with that, an AMA each month with me, and a bunch of different classes that I'm about to announce, including Astro Style with Anthony Parada, You can learn the intersection between fashion and astrology. If you love fashion, he's your guy. Go follow him. I'm doing a class on astrocartography with a woman named Saturn Season Astrology. She's really great. There's going to be a talk with evolutionary astrologer Jordan Smith called A Return to Natural Law. And if you liked some of the conversations we were talking about earlier about how we got to make a lot of changes in the world around us with this Jupiter Uranus conjunction and come together, you're going to really love this talk. And then we have a talk on mutual reception coming. There's just a lot of stuff to pick from. So there's something for everyone. And you're going to get all of that this summer. So come join me. It'd be so much fun.
Wow.
Want to
I
meet
mean,
all of you.
you are just like, yeah, you're just like my spiritual soul sister slash daughter because that is a lot.
Thank you. I love that. I need that. I need a star mommy.
Yes. Well, I'm it, you know? Great job, B. Your stuff is great. The connections with other astrologers are fantastic. Yeah, I just can't hi recommend B highly enough. And I'm really excited about what you are doing and how you personally are just emerging as, you know, just a great voice and a great creative person. So, thanks for talking with me today. It was always a pleasure
Yeah.
and introducing you to some of my listeners, and I'm just, you know, happy new moon, babe. May
Happy New
it
Moon
all be
to you, all
happened,
of your
you know,
listeners and
all
you.
the abundance.
Yes. All right, guys. It was nice talking with you. I hope you have a great evening, all of you.
You too. Happy new moon, babe. To be
Bye.
continued, our conversation. Okay. Bye.
Bye.